I grew up spending a lot of weekends at our family cabin on a man-made lake that was just outside of Iuka, Mississippi. Can't make that up. There was no antenna for television. There was no phone. There was no computer. There was an old Yahtzee game and a jigsaw puzzle with half of the pieces missing. But there was outside a beautiful playground for us. So my best friend and I spent a lot of time in the woods around the lake, frolicking in the Civil War trenches and swinging on Tarzan-sized vines that we found out later were mainly comprised of poison ivy. A lot of calamine lotion. The trees were so thick in the woods that you could barely see the sky, but the natural playground was magical. And one day we discovered a felled branch that was supported by other trees because it was so thick. And it became a swing of sorts, and we took turns seeing how far the branch could kind of fling us into the woods. And on one miraculous flight through the air, I happened to land many feet away in a small clearing of trees, but at the edge of this very steep hill. And then suddenly a flash of light hit my eyes and I stopped dead still. For as I looked out from the trees, I could see the lake below me, and the brilliant sun had hit just this little shining piece on a boat below. And had I taken one more step, I would have fallen off the edge onto the rocks and into the water below. But on that day, a beautiful, really bright light had stopped me in my tracks on the edge of safety of my childhood playground. Below, the light was startling, thank goodness, because I froze with my heart pounding as I viewed glorious beams of light dancing on the water, but the terrible rocks in danger below. It was one moment of realization that things are more than they appear. More beautiful, more dangerous, more glorious, and less safe. Such is the revelation in today's gospel reading of the transfiguration of Christ. Jesus is on a mountain with the rocks below. He transforms before the eyes of his three closest into a glorious glowing light, lit from within, but shining outward like the sun. And that's not all. The prophets Moses and Elijah are there too. The old law, the prophecy, and Jesus, all in one moment. Then God himself shows up in a cloud like he did to Moses in the days of old. And just like at Jesus' baptism, where God speaks out to let everyone know that he has sent this man, his real son, to be with us, to be the Emmanuel, to be God among us. Here he reiterates this message, and he affirms indeed what Jesus is doing, and that is God's mission, a mission he's been chosen to do. But today, we hear an added directive of God, because God says, listen to him. Haven't the disciples been doing that? Haven't they been hanging on every word? They've been following Jesus and trying to learn from their master. Why would God the Father add this imperative today? Probably because God knows better than anyone, unless you've ever been the parent of a teenager, that hearing may not quite be listening. Jesus has just been teaching the disciples what God's kingdom is supposed to be. But some of the requirements are really hard, and they have dire consequences. It is thematically perfect that the transfiguration happens at the end of Epiphany, the last Sunday of Epiphany, which is today, and that this year's gospel reading offers a whole lot to the story. It's from Luke 9, and Luke 9 is an action-packed book in the Bible. In this gospel chapter, Jesus sends out the 12 to spread the good news and heal. He picks up a huge crowd of followers. He feeds 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, and then boom, Jesus drops the reality bomb. The rock star tour that they've been on is over, and the last stop won't be with champagne and high fives, but with great suffering and rejection by the elders and chief priests and scribes and death. Then Jesus lets his disciples know in no uncertain terms that if they follow him to this path, that will require denying themselves and taking up their own crosses. The disciples have 8 days to let this soak in before Jesus takes Peter and James and John up to the mountain to pray, where they see long dead Moses and Elijah, but then their very much alive and human master turn into a bright and glowing light. And then the voice of God, the voice that the Israelites couldn't hear for fear of death, the voice of God talks to them. Everything is different now. Jesus is changing everything. And they hear God say, "Listen to my son, listen to Jesus." And hopefully they are listening to what this means, that this beautiful, light-filled, wondrous Messiah is telling the truth when he says that really, really soon things are going to go south. The mountain is beautiful and the view is beautiful up there. They can't stay there. They can't build dwellings. They have to go back down. They have to face the rocks below. Jesus, who is glowing now like the sun, will be dead soon. He has to die. He has to die to defeat death. He has to go down to the rocks of pain and suffering so that resurrection and life are possible. Salvation, glory, beauty, light, perpetual are ahead. And this is a little glimpse of that. But this is also a glimpse of danger. Epiphany, in so many ways, has been a glimpse of the glory, the beauty, the wonder of light of Christ in our world and inside of us that shines out for others. And now we stand on the mountain and look down at the rocks. And in the distance, if we strain our eyes, we can see another mountain that we must travel to. We know that our journey leads to Golgotha, the mountain of the crucifixion. We see it in the distance as the stark opposite of the light-filled mountain on which we stand today. We see the glory, and we see the dangers. Wednesday, Lent begins for us and our journey to the cross. It's not the end of joy because we are still filled with Christ and we know how the story ends. But our journey this season takes another path through a spiritual desert. And this trek comes from our desire to deepen our faith, to experience the grace that we never ask for, but we are freely given, to walk with our Lord toward Jerusalem. We are sent off in Lent with a glimpse of the beauty of God's glory, God's promise, God's covenant, the miraculous, the promise of old and new hope of our Messiah, the light that glows like the sun. And yet, when the light fades to a memory and our Lenten journey begins to get darker, Jesus is there. He comforts us as we walk with him on this path from light into darkness and gives us hope of a brilliance on the other end. The light that lies beyond the dark hill of Golgotha. Jesus Emmanuel, Son of God, Savior, glorified, transfigured, crucified, resurrected, walks with us. Our journey with our Lord is more beautiful, more dangerous, more glorious, and less safe. But it is a journey worth all of the risks. Amen.